Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, educating medical students dedicated to serving rural Minnesota and American Indian Alaska Native communities. Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, when you think about world-class, internationally famous medical care, you think about the Mayo Clinic, of course, in Rochester. But Johns Hopkins has not only just opened up a center in Minnesota, they've opened it up right here in Duluth. Melissa Walls is the new director. She joins us this morning on the phone to talk about it a little bit more. Hey, Melissa, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
This is really exciting. Now, this is the Great Lakes hub for the new center. It's called the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health. Has the center been in operation for a while and suddenly decided to expand? Or is the center new and expanding? Because they've got kind of outreach centers in different locations around the country.
Yes, yeah. Actually, it was founded over 25 years ago by Dr. Matu Santosham, who was working with the White Mountain Apache community at the time on a really famous thing you might have heard of. It's called Pedialyte. And so that community worked with Dr. Santosham to create oral rehydration therapies. And since then, has expanded the work from infectious disease to behavioral health and has hubs in the Southwest and now right here in Duluth.
So that was pretty exciting. Tell us about how you got tapped to be the new director.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been colleagues with the people at the center out in Baltimore for, you know, over a decade. And in 2016, I took a sabbatical and did a visiting professorship out at their center, kind of traveling back and forth between Minnesota and Baltimore, really getting to know these exciting public health programs and training programs that they do in Indian Country. And since then, it's sort of been this game of, hey, you know, we've got this opportunity. Would you come out to Baltimore? And I couldn't move. This is my home, my family, my tribe is here, and the communities I work with are here. And what do you know what? We figured out a way for me to stay.
You know, you would really think that with all of the technological advances that we have, that there would really be a lot more job opportunities that can work that way so that people can work where, again, where family is, where home is. That is fantastic. And to say, no, we have to uproot you away from your tribe is, in a sense, kind of counterintuitive to the job itself.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think they realize that, obviously, because they've invested in creating a hub out here. We had 104 tribal members on our research team who all transferred, you know, over to Hopkins. So it's been a massive haul, but it's really exciting.
So I asked you a minute ago how the new center is going to work, dovetail with, conflict with the existing Center for American Indian and Minority Health. But every year they've got a record enrollment of new medical students, and it seems like a collaboration is kind of intuitive there. Am I right?
Absolutely, yeah. Dr. Mary Owen and I are friends, colleagues. I maintain an adjunct appointment, actually, at the medical school here in Duluth. And, you know, we need physicians and we also need public health champions. And so together we can kind of do both of those things.
One of the things that the new hub is going to do is it talks about how they're going to be doing some leading edge research projects. Mm-hmm. And the first time I think I ever had a conversation about the idea of research projects in Indian Country, I think it was with you. And mm-hmm. you taught me something invaluable that it's worth revisiting. Why are, first of all, the research projects so important? But secondly, why are they, among Native people, sometimes really controversial?
Yeah, well, first, they're important because, as you know, policy is often predicated on having evidence that something happens. And when we're left out of the research narrative, we just don't have the numbers, we don't have the data to tell us what's really going on in our communities. We know, but, you know, policymakers need those numbers. And also effective interventions and treatments can't be made if we don't know the scope of a health problem or a strength. So that's another thing, really focusing on positive outcomes in research and retelling stories in our communities so that we have a holistic picture of what our communities are. But it's tricky. You know, the history of research in Indian Country and many communities is exploitive, is very hierarchical, and not seeking to tell a story that a community might want to tell. So really working as a Native person with Native communities helps to bring that understanding. But always we have to do collaborative, community-based, participatory research.
So it's important that you're being transparent with the people on the ground about what the project is, what mm-hmm. the end goals of the project are, how the data is going to be used, that kind of thing. Because it sounds like some important information has come out of some of these studies, but the people mm-hmm. that made it possible were just kind of shunted to the side.
Yeah, and sort of, you know, we call it helicopter research, where some academic swoops in, collects a bunch of data, and then leaves, and the community's left thinking, what was that? You know, what happened? And all of a sudden they see a publication, and it doesn't ever affect them in a good way. And so really just collaborative, making sure community is actually part of the research process. We're partners. That's the model we strive for.
What are you hoping is going to come out of this in the short term, obviously, that's going to be beneficial to Native communities here? The idea, it sounds, of the center is that a lot of good stuff is going to come out of the center long term that could benefit all kinds of communities. But just in the short term, as you're talking with folks here in Minnesota and perhaps in northwestern Wisconsin, what are you hoping is going to come out of this right away that you're hoping is going to get them excited about the center also?
Yeah. You know, it all comes down to me to the idea of knowledge sharing. So in our communities, we have tremendous knowledge and wisdom, and you talk about this on this very show. And I think we have a lot of things we can teach, you know, people at Johns Hopkins. On the flip side, Johns Hopkins has some of the leading scholars in the world in all sorts of topics that are of interest to our communities, and we deserve to have that information. And Hopkins School of Public Health is the number one public health school in the world, and our tribal members are eager to get that education. So opening doors into Johns Hopkins, whether online or literally taking some of our community members to Baltimore for training, that's my goal, that we all benefit from this knowledge exchange.
If I were a Native student thinking about going into medicine, I'd be really excited about this new hub. What are you hoping? What kinds of opportunities are you hoping, or doors perhaps that could be flung wide, to the growing number of Native students who enter the med school program every year?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. Mary Owen and I have talked about bringing, actually soon, the current cohort of Native medical students down to our center to learn about our projects. You know, medical students are eager to get involved in research, and we welcome our Native students and other, you know, allies to come into the project. So that's one big thing. And just me staying, you know, involved at UMD and staying on campus and coming in and doing guest lectures, or just, you know, having a presence, because this is my community, and that's very important, and I want to make sure everybody benefits, like I said earlier, from this new partnership.
Well, Melissa, this is really exciting. I hope we have the opportunity to talk with you a lot about things going on at the Hub as things progress. And you mentioned that there were 104 tribal people. They relocated here to Duluth?
No, they actually stayed in their reservation communities, but administratively, financially, they're paid from Johns Hopkins now, yeah.
So you didn't have to try to make the case to any of these people why, for example, they wanted to leave Phoenix and move to Duluth in November.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen, but we definitely collaboratively made the decision to move administratively.
Okay. Well, yeah, and they said, fine, you just go right ahead and do that.
Yeah, you stay up there and the snow, and as the snow comes down.
Exactly. We don't need to be there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
feel exactly. free to have meetings via Skype, and we'll enjoy the view out your window. But
yes, yeah, exactly.
Melissa, thanks again. I really appreciate the conversation. Congratulations on your new gig. And like I said, I hope that we have the opportunity to talk soon about the work that the Hub is going to be doing going forward. Thanks again.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Have a great day.
Melissa Walls, our guest this morning. She is the director of Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health, the Great Lakes Hub, and she does maintain an adjunct professorship right here at UMD. So she'll continue to be available to UMD students right here. Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, a national leader in improving health care access and outcomes in rural Minnesota and American Indian Alaska Native communities.
Programming on KUMD is supported in part by MinSure, where Minnesotans can compare health plans to find the best plan for their needs. Most people qualify for financial help. There is no charge for enrollment assistance, which is available in person or by phone at 1-855-3-MINSURE or visit mnsure.org.